Game four of the Western Conference Finals is here, and I've got Connor Letourneau with me to break it all down. He's coming to us live. Well, not live. You're watching a recording of this, but to me, it's live, and he's in the press room. Not just the press room. It's where they have all the interviews after the games in Dallas. I'm stoked. Let's hope this is the last show we do where the Warriors are actually having to play for a good 9 days. I hope you get the hint from there. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Connor Letourneau on Twitter at CON_CHRON. You can follow me, Cyrus Thoughts, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow. Joe, my sincerest apologies if I screw anything up today. The company video brain is real, man. I am foggy. But, dude, the Warriors are in the Western Conference Finals. I am not stopping this in any regard. And, Connor, I can't thank you enough for joining me live from Dallas, live meaning for me. How is the feel there, man? The Warriors are up 3-0. That I've never seen a playoff crowd in the Western Conference Finals that quiet. Your take from Game 3 and what you're expecting in Game 4 for starters?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before on this podcast together, but I really do feel like it became pretty clear early in this series that this Dallas team is overmatched. I mean, I know that they've had a lot of things going for them to get to this point. I know that this season in a lot of ways is already a win for them, but I'm starting to get kind of like 2019 Western Conference Finals vibes. You know, remember that series against Portland where it was a sweep, and, you know, Portland had a couple moments where they kind of tested the Warriors, but overall it was pretty clear and decisive that it was going to be a sweep. And I'm starting to feel like it's very likely that this is going to end up being a sweep. I just feel like the two teams that the Warriors were not able to close out right away in the previous two series, the Grizzlies and the Nuggets, presented some different challenges than this Dallas team can present. I think the Warriors have a really good understanding of how to defend Dallas. If you look at how this series has gone, Luka has gotten his numbers and it hasn't mattered. You know, yep. Luka's averaged like almost around 40 points per game in this series, and yet he's like a minus 61 in the minutes he's played, whereas this guy named Andrew Wiggins is a plus 66. That's like all you need to know, right?
We're going to touch on an article you recently wrote in just a moment where you wrote about Bob Myers. And I love the article because it was basically, you were just like poking the Timberwolves nonstop in this piece. I loved it. But before we get to that, I want to bring up some interesting stats. And I got to give kudos to a Twitter account named at Clay Kittle for raising awareness of this. He asked me to look up the stats. And maybe you've seen this, Connor, maybe you haven't. But the moment I looked it up, I started laughing. He wanted me to look up the stats of how Luka Doncic is guarding certain players in this series. And so I was like, all right, I'll take a look. And the moment I took a look, I started laughing, dude. I'll read these off to you, and then I love your feedback after this. So Luka Doncic has guarded Kevon Looney 3 minutes and 55 seconds in this series. Looney has gone 8-for-8 on Doncic in that matchup. Perfect 100% field goal percentage. But the player he's matched up with the most is Andrew Wiggins. They're mirroring each other in this series. Luka's guarding him as much as Wiggins is returning the favor. He's guarded Andrew Wiggins for 19 minutes in this series. Wiggins is shooting 13-for-22 off him for 59% from the field. He's also 3-of-4 from beyond the arc when Luka Doncic guards him. The point is, Luka is a horrible defender. Your thoughts?
Yeah, none of that's surprising. I hadn't seen those numbers until you just rattled them off, but none of that is surprising. I think you just kind of hit on something that makes this Warriors team so difficult. It's that there's not a lot of places for bad defenders to hide. You know, when you have Andrew Wiggins, who's arguably your number four option, given the emergence of Jordan Poole, as your fourth option, I mean, that's tough. You know, like who is Doncic supposed to guard? Obviously, Kevon Looney, who's been shockingly good throughout the past four or five games, even offensively, posting a career-high 21 points the other night. So yeah, it's just, there's nowhere for him to hide. And I think that's, I think the Warriors present a challenge in that regard that maybe no other team can. I don't think the Warriors, I don't think another team in this league has a number four option who's even close to on par with someone like Andrew Wiggins.
It's remarkable and it's incredible. And let's just talk about the article you wrote. And this is a great piece to throw in there during the Western Conference Finals. You're highlighting the genius of Bob Myers. He routinely makes people like me sound dumb because during the regular season, when I need something to talk about on this show, you know, I'll bring up points. I'll bring up certain decisions he's made. For example, I was critical all season of him for not having a backup plan for James Wiseman, for not really adding size to this roster. And look at him now. The four remaining teams, the Warriors, do not look small all of a sudden. They are not diminutive against the other three remaining teams. They're all small. It's incredible. Tell the audience what your story is about, which is available for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm guessing front page, Sporting Green?
I haven't checked the print edition. Okay. I believe it probably is. I hope it is on the front page of Sporting Green. The Wiggins story I wrote yesterday was basically kind of an in-depth look back at really not just one move, but really the two moves that set the course of this return to relevance and to title contention. And those were the sign and trade with Brooklyn that got the Warriors D'Angelo Russell. And then obviously the Warriors flipping that about seven months later and going out and getting Andrew Wiggins from Minnesota, and then the top three protected 2021 first round pick that ended up becoming Jonathan Kuminga. And so if you actually think about it, I wrote it in, let me just pull up my article real fast.
I want to highlight too, you brought up some interesting things, because to pull off that sign and trade, they also had to do the trade with Memphis, right? Where they got rid of the Iguodala contract. He had 1 year remaining. The biggest downside to that sign and trade, and people forget bringing this up, is that, you know, it's like people slept on the Warriors because they were bad for 2 years after this historic 5 year run. But the first year was clearly a wash, not only because Steph went out after the four games when his wrist got crumbled by that another big ogre who fell on him. But the Warriors were also hard capped. And I remember emphasizing that repeatedly to anyone who would listen, like, look, this season is a wash. The Warriors can't do a thing because of this hard cap, and where they just can't go over this certain amount. What because of that sign and trade, it triggered the hard cap situation. So that first year was a wash. And they
that year they were like playing Jeremy Pargo.
Yeah.
Chasing Randall. And, you know, one of the things that I actually wasn't able to get into in this piece, but I thought about while I was writing it, was because of all this, they kind of discovered JTA because of the hard cap. They had to give a bunch of guys flyers. And so they took a flyer on this guy named Juan Toscano-Anderson, who was,
great call,
you know, putting up whatever numbers for their G League team. And that's how they really, you know, the door started to open for him with the organization. And so obviously that move and that revelation is not on par with getting someone like Kuminga or someone like Wiggins, but that's just a smaller, like, overlooked aspect of all this. So you make a good point. There were so many nuances to those moves. And if you really like go back and look at it, I was just revisiting a bunch of stories I wrote at that time. Uh-huh. And it really reinforced for me just how brilliant Bob Myers is, because he was able to see a situation and maximize it to the point where, what I basically got at in this story is that a lot of other GMs would have just been like, oh, too bad. We're not going to be able to resign Kevin Durant. See you, Kevin. All right, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll just go the traditional route and try to do our thing. But they didn't have a lot of options because they were already so tapped out salary cap wise.
Right.
And, you know, all they really had at their disposal was the mid-level. And there literally was not another path to get an all-star caliber player. So, you know, Bob was criticized at the time. Like, why are you giving D'Angelo Russell a max contract? Like, he's not really a max level player and he doesn't fit your roster. But anyone who was judging him for that didn't see the bigger picture, which was it didn't matter his fit on the roster. It didn't matter that he was being overpaid. That was literally the only way they could get that type of value or that caliber of player. And even though they denied it at the time, we now know that D'Angelo Russell was brought in 100% to be a trade chip.
Yep.
And they flipped him to Minnesota and got, you know, Wiggins and then the pick that became Jonathan Kuminga. And if you remember, the Warriors were criticized for that too a lot at the time because, you know, people did not think very highly of Wiggins. And, you know, but in retrospect, even at that time, I was like, you know what? I don't care if you're down on Wiggins. It's still a good trade just because of the top three protected pick.
Yep.
And because he was a much better organizational fit. Like, because the Warriors weren't asking him to come in and be the face of the franchise like he was for Minnesota. They're asking him to be an overqualified number three option and to play a little bit harder on defense. And obviously, he has ended up being much better than anyone could have imagined. And then that pick ended up becoming Jonathan Kuminga, who looks like he could very well be a perennial All-Star. So if you really think about this, the way I wrote it in my story was basically that Bob Myers did the seemingly impossible. He managed without salary cap space to parlay Kevin Durant's departure into two franchise cornerstones, one for the present, Wiggins, and another for the future, Jonathan Kuminga. So if you think about it, he literally pulled the biggest rabbit out of his hat that anyone possibly could, and it's going to define this next era of the Warriors. So I felt like I needed a little bit more in-depth look at that because everyone's talking so much for good reason about Wiggins right now. Mm-hmm. Like, let's take a step back and think about why this is even happening. It's because Bob Myers pulled a rabbit out of his hat in a moment when – very few GMs or executives would, and it changed the course. It's the reason why Steph is probably going to win at least one more title.
Yeah, it was a fantastic article. That sentence you wrote did stand out to me as well, man. That was a great call on that. And I don't know I can't remember what your feelings were at the time. I was advocating for Wiggins since like the moment like that trade happened. Wiggins was on my radar. I mean, the math wasn't complicated in terms of who was out there. You know, the moment they got D'Angelo Russell, everyone had heard the speculation that Russell and Karl Anthony Towns were friends.
I wrote a piece after that trade happened that basically said this trade was always going to be the trade that was going to happen. Once they got D'Angelo Russell, they were always going to have to trade with Minnesota because Minnesota was the only team that wanted D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
And I hate to say this, but Minnesota was the only team dumb enough to give up legitimate assets for D'Angelo Russell. No offense. I know their GM at that time is out of a job, I believe, right now, or at least he's not with.
They've had a lot of bad Minnesota. GMs.
And props to them for going out and getting Tim Connelly. That was a great get for them. Better.
And it's all about ownership, right? Glenn Taylor's on his way out. They got new owners. I mean, this is the team that had David Kahn as their GM for who knows how long.
Oregonian where I used to work. That trade was always going to happen because they're the only team that really wanted D'Angelo Russell. And the thing is, D'Angelo Russell was never a good fit for the Warriors for obvious reasons, but not only on the court, but also off the court, like, culturally, he didn't fit.
Yes.
He was very much on an island. You didn't see him interacting with guys in the locker room. That was pre-pandemic when you actually were around in the locker room and got to see how they interacted in that environment. Yep. It was very clear that he just wasn't there to stay. Everyone knew it. He knew it. Steve basically admitted to it because Steve is such a truth teller that he actually basically admitted it during the season you can make the argument that D'Angelo Russell is the worst defensive player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's one of them, no doubt.
Yeah, and people were like, I did not understand the chatter at the time of people saying that the Warriors.
Hold that, Connor. Hold that thought for one second. I got to give some love to Price Picks real quick. We'll resume it in just a moment because you're right. There were a lot of people out there that were actually upset the Warriors traded D'Angelo Russell. If that's where you're going, we'll touch on that in just a moment. I got to give Price Picks some love real quick here, just given how deep we are in the show. And speaking of individual accolades, Price Picks is a great app. So, for example, if D'Angelo Russell was playing, you could go to Price Picks and bet the under, for example, for certain point totals, or bet the over, for example, for certain turnover numbers. The point is, Price Picks is that fun. You're making individual bets on over-unders. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. That is one of my favorite parts about Prize Picks. You don't have to deal with the hassle of huge penalties, of delays. It just comes right back to you when you want your money. So just for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA for $50 free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts, just like Connor Letourneau is free and available on Twitter. You can follow him at CON_CHRON. Finish your point, sir. Thank you so much for letting me interrupt you there to pay some bills. D'Angelo Russell, continue
on. I just felt like it was funny going back down that rabbit hole yesterday.
Yes. Doing
research and just looking at the stuff that was written at the time, because it does feel like a long time ago at this point. But the Warriors got lambasted by a lot of pretty what are considered relevant, credible pundits, you know, analysts out there. And I felt like anyone who was criticizing the Warriors at that time, regardless of how you felt about Andrew Wiggins, you were overvaluing D'Angelo Russell. I do not think very highly of D'Angelo Russell as a player. Mm-hmm. I do not think he's a winning player. I think he's an empty stats guy. I think that, you know, credit to the Timberwolves, they have gotten better in large part because Anthony Edwards is the truth.
Yes.
But as long as they're leaning heavily on D'Angelo Russell, I don't think they're going to be making major waves in the Western Conference. I mean, D'Angelo Russell got benched in game 6 of the first round in favor of Jordan McLaughlin. Play defense. So, I mean, if you look at it in retrospect, that was one of the greatest heists, I think, in recent NBA history.
All and time definitely in NBA
probably history. I think it's the best trade in Warriors history. I spent some time going and looking at other notable trades. There actually haven't been as many like really favorable trades for the Warriors as you would assume. They've built their great teams mainly through the draft, but you know, the ones that came up were in 2011, the Warriors acquired Troy Murphy in the 2012 second round pick that became Draymond Green.
Great call. I saw you bring that up, and that's subtle. That's a subtle, sneaky, great trade because it's easy to forget.
Yeah,
that.
And they gave up only Dan Gazarich and Brandon Wright. And then a year later, you know, that three-way deal sign and trade to get Andre Iguodala is pretty notable. But I think when you look at just doing more with less, the Warriors literally, instead of just letting Kevin Durant walk for nothing, they somehow got two players who are going to serve them in both the short and long terms. You know, this Andrew Wiggins, regardless of what happens to him, you know, with free agency coming up and all those things, he very well could be a key component of a title winner this season. And then you know that Kuminga is going to be a face of the franchise for years to come.
Absolutely, man. And I want to just touch on that a little more in just a moment. Got to give some love first to Rock Auto because they do save people a ton of money, this especially in this day and age when we're battling inflation. And really, when we talk about inflation, it's housing prices and gas, right? I mean, obviously, groceries are up, but the car thing is huge. You have to drive. And with the ever increasing models and makes and numbers, look, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So save time and money when you use Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? An example being a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 if you go to a chain store. But if you just order it from your Rock Auto app or go to their website, it would only be $216. They're a family business. I always respect that. serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer. So just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Con Letourneau on Twitter at CON_CHRON. Con_Cron, representing his position at the San Francisco Chronicle as a sports enterprise reporter, primarily covering the Golden State Warriors. I'm sure we're going to see a diverse range of content once the season
ends. I updated my Twitter bio the other day. I was like, because before it was just Sports Enterprise Writer. I was like, I need the Warriors in there in some regard, given that I've only written about the Warriors the past couple months. So it's like, I think I changed it to Sports Enterprise Writer, comma, with a heavy dose of Warriors.
There you go. Representing the truth, brother. and just finishing up, yeah, look, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, that trade, the only part of it that made me cringe at first was that they gave D'Angelo Russell max dollars. But again, he was not a player they were going to keep. I remember arguing with people ridiculously who wanted D'Angelo to stay. They were like, let's just see how he fits. It's like, dude, that you're like you said, he's the worst defender.
To give him max money because if you think about it, he had to agree to it. And he turned down an offer from Minnesota. He could have signed with Minnesota at that time. And he turned down Minnesota just because the Warriors could give him more money. And
you're absolutely right.
It was it kind of was a mutually beneficial situation. And he ended up going back to Minnesota and making more money than he could have otherwise if he had just signed with Minnesota straight up. And he only played 33 games with the Warriors that year. So, it was a really fascinating little chapter in Warriors history that I think a lot of people are going to forget about. But it was necessary because it got the Warriors here.
Absolutely right, man.
And the Warriors, it also reinforces the fact that the Warriors needed that year where they were the worst team in the NBA.
Yep. And they little were. And hopefully James Wiseman pays off for him at some point. Yes. I guess we'll find out next year. But I always want to remind people Larry Riley deserves a ton of love as well in this grand scheme because he is the one who drafted Stephen Curry. He is the one who drafted Klay Thompson.
He mentored Bob.
What's up?
He mentored Bob Myers.
Yeah, he mentored Bob. And Steph literally named his daughter Riley after him. And this all does not happen without Stephen Curry. I mean, as brilliant as Bob Myers has been, he's been formulating this team, having the Splash Brothers in place. And so I always have to give Larry Riley love. We've been talking a lot about Andrew Wiggins, about the inevitable, right? I mean, there's a very strong possibility. I doubt it's going to be after this year now, in terms of the Warriors moving
on from
him.
Let's talk about that because I did a mailbag this morning and I was asked that exact question. And it's obviously been – I feel like I've become like the go-to guy for this topic just because I've been really fascinated by it. I always find it interesting to look at how the present is dictating the future and how the team is going to approach things going forward. And it's an incredibly intriguing kind of backdrop to everything that's going on right now because yes, Andrew Wiggins has been unbelievable. I mean, he has been a two-way force. I got a lot of backlash on Twitter a couple days ago when I said that he might be the Warriors' best player in the postseason. I understand why I got that backlash. People thought that was a slight towards Steph. It was not a slight towards Steph. It was just a compliment to Andrew Wiggins. I do think the argument can be made. Ultimately, you're probably right, Dub Nation. It's probably still is Steph. But I will say that Andrew Wiggins has the best differential, net rating differential in the NBA during this postseason. Better than Jimmy Butler, better than Jason Tatum, better than anyone in the NBA. And when you combine the defense with the offense, I'm not sure anyone's been doing it better. I mean, what he's done on Doncic in this series defensively has been absolutely incredible. It's probably the biggest reason why they're up 3-0 with a chance to sweep tonight in game four. And then he's been so efficient offensively. He's been rebounding at such a high rate. But there's kind of this thing hanging in the background of like, they're just practically – they might not be able to afford to keep him. And yeah. they might be in a situation where they have to start maybe shopping him as soon as this summer. But how do you reconcile those things? How do you reconcile a guy who was a driving force behind a potential championship team, who resuscitated his career, has been nothing but good vibes, been nothing but a positive story, you know, is going to be a big reason why you're potentially going to hang a rafter at Chase Center or hang a banner in the rafters at Chase Center with – trading him like weeks after potentially trading him weeks after he helps you win that title. Like if he helps you win that title, it's just an incredibly interesting dynamic to me.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, cause it did seem inevitable that it was going to be after either this year or next year, either they're going to trade him after this year or sign and trade him after next year. But if they win a title and given the way he's playing, I mean, don't you think they have to kind of reconsider that notion? I guess I'm curious to know.
That, like, but what is their other option, though?
Spend like, the money. They're spending the money.
We're talking about an absurd amount of money. Like,
I know.
They're on track. let's assume they don't bring back Wiggins, okay? They're on track to have at least a combined payroll when you factor in luxury taxes in 2023-24 of around $500 million.
Yeah.
I believe that they're around 340 right now, and that is by far an NBA record. Okay.
Yes.
So without Wiggins, okay, they're looking at least $500 million. Okay. With Wiggins, you're looking at, you know, with the luxury taxes and everything, you're looking at north of 600. I mean, it's going to be absurd. And yes, this team is valued at $5.6 billion. And I've had people say they're valued at $5.6 billion. But when you look at what they're bringing in revenue-wise every year on a year-to-year basis, like, it's not necessarily sustainable to have a $600 million payroll. Okay.
That's interesting. I'm curious.
And so curious. I know that Joe Lacob has shown that he's willing to spend big to win big. But I do feel like there has to be a breaking point at some point, and I feel like this is it. And the truth is, the only other like logical option here is to not give Jordan Poole the contract he deserves and to not sign him to an extension this summer. But you have to do that. So it's kind of like the lesser of two evils. You know, the other thing you could do is maybe you don't pick up Wiseman's fourth year option, which I don't think you want to do that. You still need to see what he becomes, and that's not as much money as that's not close to as much money as Wiggins. You know, Wiggins is going to be, unfortunately for the Warriors, he's going to be commanding another max deal, which is about $37 million a year, and the option on Wiseman is 12.1 mil. So I just don't know if there's another option. The only two options are you somehow figure it out and you just pay the money.
They are kind of building themselves as like the next Disney Corporation. What do they call themselves? The Warriors Entertainment Company and Dynasty.
I mean, Bruce Jenkins had a column the other day that basically said, like, this is a good example of why the NBA salary cap is so bad for the NBA, because teams shouldn't be hurting. Like, teams shouldn't be a victim of their own success.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, and that's what's happening here with the Warriors is that, you know, they drafted a guy at 28 who ended up being a close to max level player at the age of 22. They, you know, everything is going so well for them that they're getting screwed. They got a guy, you know, who was considered the worst contract in the NBA, who is proving to be a legitimate max level player and deserves another one, you know?
That is a great point, man. I really hope it's funny. I don't know if you've been watching the show. This is the first time I'm going to admit on this podcast that I've been watching the show Winning Time. This is not an endorsement of the character portrayals on that show in any regard. I fully understand. Very close sources for both of us have said publicly and privately that the especially the Jerry West portrayal is so off. And
well, Jerry West himself has said that he's going to take it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that it's defamatory. But look, first of all, there's no way Jerry West is going to win that case unless he can prove the damages actually incurred, meaning that he actually lost money because of that portrayal. And I don't think he's going to have a chance in proving that. But My point is that the show itself, if you take away these inaccurate character portrayals, and they do state very clearly at the beginning of the show that this is our fictional portrayals. The building of the Lakers dynasty is fascinating to watch from this specific format as a narrative, as a TV show on HBO. And I just love the fact that the Lakers, you know, when Jerry Buss bought that team, like he was barely getting by initially. And for example, he had the banks, you know, delay the loans that he owed them. And eventually he named the forum the Great Western Forum, partly as a means to push back all the money he owed them. And I guess my point is, let's hope Joe Lacob and we, you know, you've given all this respect to Bob Myers in your article. I have a feeling they're going to come up with a way to make things work. And we'll find out. But you're right. They are a victim of their own success. You should not be penalized.
I'm starting to believe more and more that they're going to figure something out because it's just so hard from a like morale team building standpoint to just bid farewell to a guy that just resuscitated his career in a lot of ways, shed his unflattering reputation and became everything you've ever wanted him to be a true X factor in this postseason. I mean, they would not be here without Andrew Wiggins. Okay. No one can deny that.
Yep.
And as I said in that story the other day, like, or yesterday, I've learned to not underestimate Bob.
Exactly,
he's an incredibly smart person. So maybe there's some way to figure this out that we can't think of right now. He knows the salary cap. He knows the CBA, all that far better than I do. he very well may figure something out.
And great content as always, Connor. I mean, the ride's still going. The Warriors still need to win five more. They go for the sweep tonight, 6 p.m. You're coming to us live from the Dallas Mavericks press conference room. I always forget the name of that arena. Is it American Airlines Arena? Is that what they call it?
American Airlines Center. There's an American Center. Airlines Arena in Miami where the finals might be.
There you go.
And American Airlines Center in Dallas.
And what's your prediction for tonight? Do the Warriors close this out, or are we going to see a game five at Chase Center and have Otto Porter Jr.'s salary for next year paid off with a game five?
Yeah, I really think the Warriors close it out tonight because for a couple reasons. I think that they learned from the past two experiences in the first and second rounds that you really need to just close it out and get it done. And that they would really benefit a lot from having a good 9-day break before the finals to get healthy. We just saw Gary Payton II getting shots up. You know, if you could get him back for the NBA finals, that would be huge. He would be a really nice option to have on Jason Tatum or Jimmy Butler, whoever it ends up being. Otto Porter Jr. Would be really big to have back. So they want that time off for everyone. And then I also just don't think that the Mavericks have the same like fight that the Grizzlies had or even the Nuggets had. I don't know if you heard their press conferences after game three, but they were already talking like they lost. Yes. And effectively, yeah, they have already lost because the all-time record for teams that are up 3-0 in the playoff series, in a playoff series, is 146-0. There's literally no chance of the Mavericks winning this. But you don't talk like you've lost. You know, you try to be that one team that did it, you know, but they're already like Jason Kidd's over here talking about how, oh, you know, it's already been a great year, successful year. It's like, that's sounds like someone who's waving the white flag a little bit.
Exactly. Luke is saying the same thing. He's talking about, he goes, look, man, I'm young. I'm only 23. It's my first Western Conference Finals. I have not seen in a while a team basically going 1-2-3 Cancun on the Warriors before the series is over. But that's the sense I'm getting too. The only thing I wonder is if the Mavericks do come out and they're just on fire, hitting like every three they heave up, because that's undoubtedly how they're going to start this game. They're just going to shoot threes left and right. And if they fall, like if the Mavericks come out to some huge start, I could see the Warriors kind of throwing in the towel early as well, just because you're still going to get 7 days rest if you win game five. And given there's such a short break between each game, I don't know if I could see the Warriors giving another 40 minutes to Steph and company playing a comeback game. You know, I don't know. That's the only way I could see this going five, is if the Mavericks start out blazing hot. But I'm with you in reality. And it's crazy the Mavericks are favored in this game.
They are? I didn't even see that.
That is mind blowing. They're favored by, last time I saw the line, courtesy of Bet Online, it was they were favored by 1.5.
That's surprising. It's
very surprising to me too.
I mean, we've talked about it, but I just really feel like this team, this Mavericks team, and this really isn't an insult because they got this far. So props to them for getting this far.
Exactly.
But they're not that good.
Exactly.
This is really not a very good team. I mean, Doncic is amazing, but like when they have Jalen Brunson and then a bunch of other like
role players. Yeah, they're role players. Like, that's what they are.
Anthony Smith is like, if he was on the Warriors, he'd be a great 10th man or something.
Yes.
But like, yes. He's like their third or fourth best player. You know?
I want to give props to Moses Moody, by the way, too. I forgot to give him love last show. He's not stats-wise, he's not doing much, but he's playing smart out there, and he's
big. The fact that he's playing at all, I mean, I believe you were on the bandwagon of play him over Damian Lee a while ago.
Same you too, both of us.
I was, and I in my mailbag today, I had a stat, and it was I would have to pull it up, but it was something like in his 91 minutes, in Damian Lee's 91 playoff minutes, the Warriors were outscored by 34 points.
Ooh.
He was a minus 12 in 5 minutes the other night. You know, it got to the point where it was like, okay, like this can't happen anymore. Like I know that Steve Kerr really has a personal affinity for Damian, and I get that, but like it gets to a point where you just can't deny the results anymore.
Yep.
And you know, Steve has basically alluded to the fact that we will not be seeing Damian Lee in these playoffs in meaningful minutes again. And you know, I do think that Moody's minutes will go down as they get healthier with Gary Payton II and Otto Porter Jr. But he's proven, that he can at least eat up minutes,
yes,
and not hurt you
in
these games. Which for a 19-year-old rookie, that is a win. Jonathan Kuminga overall was a net negative in his playoff minutes. I think that so far Moody's been pretty much, cutting even, which is breaking even, which is a win.
Yes, it is. Connor, you have fun tonight, man. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule. You are busy, yet here you are doing this with me. Thank you, brother. And that article is a great read, folks. Go check it out. It's part of the San Francisco Chronicle Sporting Green section, available online. If you follow Connor Letourneau on Twitter, you can find it easily at CUN_CHRON, Con_Cron. You can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRoadshow and this program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Have fun there, man. What are you eating? What's the Dallas diet for you when you go out there on these road trips? Like, is it hamburgers, steak?
I'll be honest. Like, I haven't had like the culinary experience in Dallas yet. I've had like Chipotle and stuff. I don't know. I should. I just have in Memphis. I had a phenomenal time with the ribs and all those good things. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not really a Texas guy, so I don't really give it my best effort. I don't, you know.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I'm ready to go home.
All right, man. Safe travels, brother. Love you, man. And we'll see you soon. And go Warriors. Let's hope they close it out tonight for nice 9-day respite before the NBA Finals. All right, my man. Thank you, everyone. Later.